Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Need training? Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of weekly live and on-demand training sessions. Plus, get access to vendor setup form templates and reference tools that will help you and your team avoid fraud, fines, and bad vendor data. So sign up for a free account to get access to free training sessions, vendor process FAQs, and a resource library with information you need to manage your vendor master file. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. Now that the new IRS Form W-9 is published, let's look at a frequently asked question that I get, which is, what should you do if the vendor's legal name and tax ID combination is not valid with the IRS? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 282. What if the IRS 10 match is unsuccessful? Three options. Well, most of you know or should know by now, the newest version of the IRS Form W-9 is out. The revision date is March 2024, and it was released on March 6th. And the instructions to the requester of the Form W-9, which is for you, those instructions are published. They actually weren't published, though, until like a week later on March 11th. So everything is out now. And this is all of 2024. So whenever you are listening to this podcast, you should be able to get the most recent version or download the most recent version of the form and also of the instructions. And just go to irs.gov and type it in. I would put a link in the description, but then I would have to do that. And it's very easy to go to the irs.gov and just type in whatever you need and it will come right up. So with that, then, let's go ahead and get started. And the reason that I wanted to make sure that I covered this is because we in AP or the vendor team, we don't always get a say in what vendors we use, nor what information they either don't give us or give us and it's incorrect. We also don't always get a say in who we talk to or the point of contact that we are given at the vendor. And that can make a big difference because not everyone knows at the vendor's place of business how they are set up with the IRS or with actually the Secretary of State for their state. And also, we don't have a choice to say we're not going to work with this vendor if, right, they don't give us the right information, because sometimes by the time we even get it, the work is already done or the products are already received. So we really need to work with what we have. And so we really do have a valid question of, well, what do we do if the IRS 10 match is unsuccessful? And for those of you that are not doing the IRS 10 match, you might want to really listen to this because I'll talk about the consequences and the reasons why I chose these options, because it does have to do with some IRS compliance. And hopefully that will mean that you will start doing the IRS 10 match prior to setting up your vendor if you have a new vendor, or prior to making a change on an existing vendor if they change their legal name or their tax ID. And so I don't want to sound bad about that because yes, it is something you should be doing, but every time I go to an in-person conference, I run into another team that's not doing that. So don't feel like you're the only one, but yes, you should start doing it. All right, so let's talk about really quickly the purpose of the IRS 10 match or taxpayer identification number match. What that is doing, it is verifying that the legal name of the vendor, and that's on line one of the W-9, or also line one of the W-8 series, form series, because you could have a non-U.S. vendor too that has a taxpayer identification number 10, but it's verifying that the legal name matches the 10 number or tax ID that they gave you. And what that protects you from is if that vendor is reportable, actually is two things. One is if the vendor is reportable, now when you report to the IRS the payments that you made for that vendor, you will not get a notification saying, hey, the legal name tax ID combination is not correct. And now you're going to have potentially fines and penalties. And not to mention the fact, now you're going to have to go and collect a valid form. And when you collect that valid form, that's a completely, or at least it was for us, actually partially is probably still for everyone, a manual process. And that's when you have to use the verbiage. That's that B notice process. And I do have a podcast that talks about the B notice process. I had a guest, Shikari Tucker, I believe her name was. Yes. And she talked about how to avoid B notices. And let me get that episode number for you. So it was episode number 139. Deborah R. Richardson talks with Shikari Tucker about the IRS CP2100, CP2100A notification, and then best practice for the B notice process and tips to avoid it next season. So the CP2100A notifications, that's how the IRS lets you know that the legal name and the tax ID combination was not valid. So that's one reason why you need to do the IRS 10 match. And the other reason that you want to do it and you want it to be valid is so that you can just avoid setting up a fraudulent vendor. So the lazy fraudsters that's going to try to give you an invalid legal name tax ID, you can get rid of them. And I do call them lazy fraudsters because with all of the technology that is out there now, it is getting easier to get synthetic identities. And actually, you don't even need those anymore. They could take real information. But you do want to make sure that you're at least checking to verify that the vendor is valid and that they are real, and to prevent any fraud that could come about because of those lazy fraudsters. So two reasons: one's compliance with the IRS, and two is for fraud prevention. And I say the fraud prevention one because those of you that think, oh, well, I have this vendor is a corporation, and so I don't have to collect a W-9, meaning you're not going to get the tax ID, legal name, and you're not going to do the IRS 10 match. You still need to do it, if only for the fraud prevention. But keep in mind that you may still have a reason to report for vendors that are corporations, because you not only have to look at the tax classification of the vendor, but you also have to look at the type of payment, because depending on the payment, corporations can still be reportable. That being said, that means every vendor that you set up and when there is a change to the legal name or tax ID, you always need to collect the applicable IRS document, the IRS Form W-9, or the one of the IRS Form W-8 series, the applicable form for them, be it the W-8BEN, W-8BEN-E, the W-8EXP, W-8EXI, or ECI, and then the W-8IMY. All right. So you have your vendor's IRS Form W-9 or the applicable IRS Form W-8, and you have a taxpayer identification number or a 10 or a tax ID, and you have your vendor's legal name. But when you do the IRS 10 match, it doesn't match. It's not successful. So let's talk about the three options that I think you have. And maybe you have more, but these are the three that options that I see for you as next steps. So the first option is just don't set up the vendor until they submit a valid legal name and tax ID combination. And so that means don't set them up, or if they're already an existing vendor, don't make a change to their legal name or tax ID until you get a valid combination. And that is because, as I talked about before, it could be fraudulent. Or you just may be dealing with someone at the vendor's place of business that is not the correct person that knows how the business is set up with the state, with the IRS. And, you know, a lot of these times the contacts that we get in accounts payable or the vendor team are the contacts that the internal team members are dealing with. And they're just trying to check the box on what you need. And so when they know you need an IRS Form W-9 or applicable Form W-8, they may just give you the legal name that they think is the legal name, but really it's just a name from the invoice, and they don't know that that is the DBA name or disregarded entity name that they should be putting in line two. They don't know the actual legal name that should go on line one. And so what really needs to happen is when that form goes back to them to say this is not correct, they need to then get you in contact with, or they need to contact someone at their company that knows how they are organized with the IRS. And so then that W-9 or applicable W-8 needs to come back. You redo the validation and hopefully it is correct. And I will tell you, I know some of you that have been listeners that have been doing this function for a while, you've been in that situation scenario where you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with that vendor until, you know, you finally get the W-9 or applicable W-8 and the 10 match is successful. As a matter of fact, I had a meme because my favorite day of the week, if you guys don't know, is Monday. And so every Monday on LinkedIn, I will post a TGIM, like AP humor, and they can also be memes. And so in this particular Monday, I posted a meme of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the one from the 1970s movie where he's looking at that golden ticket and there's just a look on his face that is just like the look on our face when we have been going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with a vendor to get the right legal name, tax ID, and we finally get it. It's that same look. It's like that golden ticket. Now we get to go to the Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory. All right. So that's the first option, is to not set up the vendor. Don't make any changes. Go back to the vendor as many times as you need to get a valid W-9 or applicable W-8. All right, so that's the first option. Now, the second option is, what if the vendor says, but yes, that is my correct legal name, tax ID that I gave you. I just, we had an update, we had a name change, we were acquired, we merged. And so it must be that the IRS is incorrect or their records are incorrect. And I will tell you that absolutely could be true, because the IRS 10 match records are not always up to date. And even after, so even before the pandemic, they weren't always up to date. And so if a vendor had a recent change, it might not be reflected there. But I have brought this up before that since the pandemic, you know, the IRS started working on lots of other things, like all those stimulus checks and other things. And they also hired a bunch of people too, because they needed it. And so they've been busy. And it could have gotten worse, right, since the pandemic. I know they've hired a bunch of folks since then, and so maybe it's getting better. But again, even before that, they were having the problem that it wasn't always updated. I have no idea how far behind they may be. Hopefully they know. But if that is the case, then what you can do is you can request from the vendor the employer identification number or EIN verification letter. Now, they can call the IRS and request that letter if they don't have it. But I will tell you, as a business owner, I know that when I make a change, or actually when I was initially set up, I received a letter from the IRS that told me what my legal name was that was registered with the IRS and what the tax ID number was. And so they may have that. If they don't have it to give to you, they can call the IRS and request it. And yes, it is going to take some time, but once they give that to you, then you can use that as support for why you still set up the vendor or why you still updated an existing vendor if or when the IRS 10 match was not successful. Now, let me just put a caveat here. Lazy fraudsters, you'll probably get rid of them, but we all know that documents can be forged. And so when you receive this, put that together with other controls that you have in place for other parts of the process to make sure that there are no other red flags that may cause you to be suspicious about this request. Because again, forgeries are out there and you can't just really rely on one part of the process to make sure that you're not processing a fraudulent request. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there because it is a form that you're asking be submitted, which means that it is open for fraud in that they can forge the form. All right. So that's the second option, is to ask for that employer identification EIN letter, verification letter. And if they call and ask for it, I don't know if I said it, but it would be called a 147C. Now, the third and last option that I have, and maybe there's another option or two, but the last one that I have really are for those of you out there that have, and we know it happens, you get a request to set up a new vendor or to change an existing vendor, and you don't really have a choice but to set them up or to change them because the product has already been received and consumed, or the services have already been performed, or both, right? So you have to make a payment to that vendor, and the vendor gave you a legal name tax ID combination that did not match. And sometimes this is on purpose, even from legitimate vendors. Well, I won't call them legitimate, but they're not necessarily fraudulent, but they just don't want you to report their income. And so they want to either not give you the W-9 or applicable W-8, or they give it to you and it doesn't have valid information on it. Now, I will tell you, and I talk about it in my Essentials training series. I have one on the IRS W-9 examples by tax classification. I do that training live on the third Wednesday of every month, but it's on demand. I have an on-demand version available too. And the most recent one for March now has the updates from the March 2024 version of the of the form. But in any event, I talk about how the IRS, number one, they put the onus on the vendor anyway to give you a correct W-9 and to give you a new W-9 if any of their information changes. And we all know how that goes. But they also, in the instructions, tell the vendor if they don't give them valid information, that they, meaning you, the payer, can withhold or backup withhold from their payment 24% for non-US or for US vendors, and then 30% starting at 30% for non-US vendors. So they really put the onus on the vendor to give you valid information so that you can do your IRS 10 matching. You don't have to withhold, but they tell them if the vendors don't, then you have, as the payer, as the client, have the right then to back up withhold. They also tell them that if they willfully give false information, they could be penalized for that. I forget the actual wording, but it is if the vendors actually read the instructions, that should give them some pause and have them give you the right information. But the other thing that the IRS says is that if you, as the payer, do not back up withhold when you should, when you need to, or are required to, and you are required to back up withhold if you do not have a valid 10 before the first payment, then your company could be liable for the amount that you should have back up withheld, plus any related interest or penalties that were charged on that amount. So you can see the IRS, and we knew this, right, are always going to get their money. Either they're going to get it from the vendor because you're going to back up withhold, or they're going to get it from you because you should have back up withheld and you didn't. So you do want to make sure that your backup withholding, if you have to make that first payment or the next payment when the 10 match is unsuccessful. Now, typically, if you tell a vendor that that's what you're going to do, then the vendor will all of a sudden find their right legal name, tax ID combination, and submit it, because they don't want to have to have 24% or 30% deduct it from their payment. And by the way, if you do back up withhold and because the vendor didn't read the email or didn't think that you were actually going to do the backup withholding, and then when they see the payment and the payment has that backup withholding deducted, and now all of a sudden they want to, you know, again, give you that right tax ID, then you don't have to refund them the amount that you withheld, by the way, only if you withheld it in error. And in this scenario, I'm talking about, you would not have withheld that amount in error. So you would set them up as withholding. And when you do get the tax ID legal name combination that actually matches, you can remove that backup withholding. Now, I will tell you, we used to use this tactic as leverage a lot from vendors that didn't want to give us a W-9, and it was really good at getting them to give us that valid information. But and that's whether it's on a W-9 or a W-8, right? The applicable tax ID and legal name combination that matches IRS records. But I will tell you, yes, it wasn't really a bluff. We would do it, but we didn't want to do it, because I don't know about you, but all of our ERPs, accounting systems, did not have the ability to automatically back up withhold. That was a very manual process. So we were using that as leverage for the vendors, but we were happy to do that because we really didn't want to back up withhold. All right. So that could probably be a whole nother podcast episode, but I did want to. So those are the three, and I did want to just summarize really quickly. So what if the IRS 10 match is unsuccessful? You have at least three options. Maybe you can think of more, but at least three options. The first one is don't set up the vendor or change the existing vendor until you get a valid tax ID legal name combination. Second option is to ask for the employer identification number, EIN verification letter from the vendor. But when you do that, make sure that you are using or looking at other parts of that transaction to make sure it's not suspicious. Make sure you have controls in place, since that form that you're asking for could just be forged. And this is when, right, it could be a valid claim by the vendor that their legal name and tax ID is correct, but they just recently had it changed and the IRS has not updated their records. That could be valid. All right. And then the third option is to go ahead and set them up, but set them up with withholding. All right, so that is it for today. I will actually put a link in the show notes for the W-9 training session I talked about, as well as some other reference links for vendor process content that I have. All right, well, thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 282nd episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.